One of the number one reasons why I love a phone app on my phone now is because I could use my fingerprint login or, you know, a face login. So like my bank, for example, like my bank's app is not that great because I have a credit union because I'm like old. And so I can log in with my finger. So like, I love that. So like, I know a lot of people like smash mobile apps, but like I will take a crappy mobile app so that I could just log in with my finger and never have to use a password ever again. People underplay that value. Like, and like that convenience is amazing. The same thing with a face ID. And so I think if they continue to lean in, and this is where I tell, and you've done the same thing, I would tell anybody that's navigating online church is communicate upfront more what your ultimate goal is.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Nils Smith, and on this special edition of the Social Media Church Podcast, I'm joined by my former co-host, former friend, mutual enemy, Jake.
Former friend.
Welcome back to the podcast. I mean, you abandoned me, Jay. You demanded me. We haven't talked in about a year, so we're doing this together in,
not true.
In public now for everyone to listen in. So Jay, how are the kids? How's the wife? We just haven't talked in a long time. And
that's not true right there. I'm glad what you're learning in New York is how to be a liberal liar. But anyways,
liberal liar, not a liar. The ultimate. So Jay and I are. So we for those of you regular listeners know that Jay, even when he was on the podcast, we fought a lot. But we are still friends. We still talk often, very often, and probably too often. And we have a good time. And so, Jay, you're doing some awesome things. You just had a couple blog posts that caught my attention that you and I have been even just privately texting about and talking about with Church Home and their new app, Church Home Global. We're going to talk about that. But, Jay, it has been a while since you've been on the podcast. So catch us up on all things Jay Kranda. What's been going on in the last year or so?
Dude, yeah, no. Spending a lot of time in the last year just with our online community at my church, where we've gotten the option to hire another pastor. And we've been kind of been in that phase. You know, anytime I'm talking to anybody about online church, you know, I really try to encourage people to treat it like a plant. So you build out a service, then you build out maybe a small groups ministry, maybe a discipleship ministry, and you kind of take it in seasons. You don't do everything up front. You got to go with the maturity of your community. And so our ministry has been in that season where we've kind of expanded. And so kind of like a building campaign where you're like, oh, we have this new initiative. And I've been getting used to having a team, and but we've been killing it. We started to do something recently, Saddleback meetups, where people anywhere in the world can meet people by hosting a meetup. And that's been really fun. We were hoping for a couple, and you know, we had 30 people sign up over the first couple of weeks, and it was really fun. And so, trying to, you know, a big focus, and this is what we're a church home, or I call church home, is, because there's only one H, and it's like in my brain, when it's you,
yeah. Somebody asked me about this other day, Jay, and I'm going to share this here on the podcast, is like, let's talk about the real issue about church home, is their name with the lack of two H's and one H. And so this is an issue I had in my life, though, my whole life, Jay, is my name is Nils Smith. I struggle in my life of, do I say Nils Smith? Does the S carry over? Or is it Nils Smith? I blame my parents for that. They have done this to me. It's actually Stephen Nils Smith. Stephen ends with an N. So is it Stephen Nils Smith or is it Stephen Nils Smith? It is painful for me my entire life. I chose not to do that to my kids. And church home, same kind of complications of, is it church home, church home?
Yeah.
The good news is that they probably were able to get the domain churchhome.com.
I know.
And social handles, because who else would have that name?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's just if you own the domain and the Twitter handles and the, you know, it comes down to you will adjust so that everything can be unified.
For anything for the .com. anything for the .com.
But I definitely we've been having a lot of fun just building out, trying to lean into physical community with our online ministry. And so the idea is that, you know, how can we start more offline experiences, and meetups are one of those things we're trying out. And now we got some more stuff we're working on, but, so that's been the quick update.
Yeah. I love it. And you're putting out a ton of great content on jcaranda.com, about, healthy online church and how to navigate that. And I think that's what's so interesting to me about the drama that has come out of this Church Home app, because you and I entered the online church world almost 10 years ago. Now, we were having those early conversations, and we both have scars of people who basically said, the internet is not a real church, that, you know, digital is not real, physical, that's not real church. And it's almost as if, from my perspective, Jay, and I'm curious yours, the last couple of years, as if that conversation is like, okay, people just embraced it. You know, like it is, I don't have to argue about the legitimacy of online church. It actually, I guess, until once I left leading online church that I started to maybe getting less flack, but it does feel like it's been more embraced. A lot of it, even just Facebook Live has like just people, it's for community and it's happening. But then it's as if this app releases and those same haters, or maybe a whole new batch of haters, has come around and just said, that's not real church. They're calling it a church. It's not church. What's your take as you hear the philosophy of Church Home Global? And maybe even before that, and I maybe haven't set this up well, what is Church Home Global? What is it that they've announced at Church Home?
Yeah, so what they've done is, so it's Judah Smith and his wife, and what they've actually gone through, I guess, and I've heard from a couple other people, they've done that. This has been like a couple year kind of run where they rebranded their church. It was like City Church, right? Is that right?
Yep, in Seattle.
And I had been to one of their locations up there before, like 6 years ago. And they, you know, he inherited it, I think, from his dad, right? And then they went through this whole rebrand of now their Church Home. And what they're doing is they've launched a new location, essentially. So they have locations all around. And the next location is Church Home Global. And the idea is that you can watch church online. And it's both from content that they're doing a weekly service, they're doing daily content, and then they're launching groups. And so if you go to their app, it's all geo-based. You can find a group, you can start a group. And it feels like, and this is where they haven't really flushed out some of this yet, where they're going to be launching potentially home experiences and probably online experiences too, of like people gathering together. It feels like they're going to use it to plant stuff. It feels that way. Now, they haven't said any of that, but the idea is that you can just watch from your phone and you get together with other people, and wherever you're at, that's church. And I think that's the idea of like they're leaning into, there are millions, billions of people that can't just walk to a church down the street and they don't have a healthy option. And what I feel like what has happened is a lot of the criticism comes from diminishing what can happen online. So what happens is typically the criticism is like, community can't happen online. So the response is this, such a swing. We like to swing.
Yes.
It's like we swing all the way over here and it's like, this is not possible. So nobody would ever in their right mind not think that community and connection can't happen online. That can happen online. Like we know that because we're doing it right now. We know that because Facebook is a behemoth. Instagram is like, now the argument is, and I think you can make this argument, is how much of that online can replace physical. And what I didn't hear is that's not possible, physical, that they're not leaning into physical, but people get so wrapped up. And I think this is there's two things. The crux of it is we hate putting church and online together because church is this defined ecclesiology and it's super deep and people have died for it. And if you evolve that, people want to, it's just, that word doesn't change. And so let's not mess with it. So when you put online and church together, and Judah Smith says something like, we're launching our next church and it's a global, I just feel like what you're doing, people just like, they're literally just like, they're getting like their guns ready and they're like, okay, we're going to fight over this, you know? and then the second thing is, since he's leaning into home experiences with these group things, it's also this definition, I think people go, American specifically, that threw the stones, I feel like, initially on Twitter, they see church as this thing they go to every week. And it's this elaborate experience with greeters and servers and like ushers. And what they're saying is church needs to be a certain size. And that's where I get what they're saying, but I think it's wrong because a lot of people around the world can't, like, church is not this big, elaborate, mega giga thing.
Yep.
And you can't say that just because there's like five people in a home gathering, to say that's not church, I think is really belittling the scriptures, because that's not, there's no, the size quota is very little. It's like 3+. And it's, yes, like, so I think both, they want to fight over this word church, evolving it and somehow linking it, which you, I understand that. And then there's this size quota thing that I go, it really reveals what Americans think of church. Yep. So those are my initial reactions. How about yours, Nils?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you lean into the ecclesiology of church. I've recently gotten to know a church in Houston called Church Project that has challenged my ecclesiology completely of how, and even how the church functions. And really, they have built what they would almost describe as a network of house churches. And so the community is having house churches, and then the house churches gather for a weekend gathering. And so we often call church the worship experience that we go to a building on Sundays. And yeah, that is church. We're going to church. We're going to attend church. And then, so it is just it's a different mindset. I think the language is tripping people up, you know, to your point of calling it a location is confusing. Now, I think what they are trying to do is align it to their current church structure, which logically makes sense, but I think can create confusion from somebody outside of that church structure. And then at the end of the day, one of the things that I don't think it's perfect. I don't think there is a perfect solution here, but they're doing something nobody else has done yet that I know of. Now, it is similar to other things we've done and we've seen and experienced, but it's interesting too. They're choosing to do this all within a native mobile app. And so instead of doing this on a website or through on a, you know, there's been churches that have basically launched a Facebook location or Facebook campus, or they've launched a Periscope, or, you know, when I was at CBC, we launched onlinechurch.com, and it was a website domain, and that's where we did church, or we experienced church or understood church to be. So it's complicated. I'm excited to watch it. But I think there's some things, so if we can dig into it, I don't know anybody at Church Home. I'm actually surprised. I mean, I feel like you and I are networked all over the place, and I know you actually do have some connections there. I was with a group in my small group here at Hillsong in New York, where we, in my small group last week and even this week, we're all looking at the app together of how can we're trying to interact within the app. And so it's neat that their church in Seattle is having an impact on the other side of the country, with a group of believers that are gathering and consuming some of the content from within the app. So there's some incredible things happening. I talked to another pastor recently too, that said, I wish they would just call it their discipleship app instead of calling it a location. I think that's interesting. I think they really are putting content out there that is more discipleship oriented, than comparing it to a location that people go to for a worship experience, although that does exist within the app. So let's dig into maybe the app and how they're practically doing it. So we understand what their objective is. Practically, Jay, how would you critique it, being an online ministry leader for more than a decade now, or close to a decade? I know you started when you were like 12 and now you're 22. I feel like this is, we have to pull back all of our old jokes and tension points, Jay.
Yeah, I know.
Episode, because it's been a while. So, and you seriously don't age, bro. I know you run all the time, but you don't age. And I get balder every time, which is shocking because I'm completely bald.
Hey, I'm embracing balding because I got LeBron James on the Lakers, so I don't care. I'll take his bald. He's amazing.
I wish I had the cash to get the hair transplant like he did. Maybe sometime.
All day, man. All day.
All day.
It's all about money. It's just percentages. It's just percentages. So it's not that big of an expense if you got a lot of them. Anyways, side point.
So the strategy of the app, what are your thoughts on the app itself and how they're promoting it, how they're using it, all of that?
Yeah, no, I think it definitely, if I was them, I definitely would lean more into the core of it, meaning like the groups and the content strategy and less about platforms. And I really think that's the shift that a lot of I was just talking to online pastor this morning actually, and this is just saying like, don't think of your online ministry, whatever you're responsible for, is just this website. Care less about where the content lives and think about how people respond. And so the idea is, I think the critique is, and this is the hard part about critiquing something that's so brand new. And this is what I really got frustrated with people on Twitter, is that they just started throwing stones. And I'm like, hey, like, we don't even know what they're doing yet, really. Like, you started criticizing a 1 minute Twitter video. Like, and that's why it all showed more their hearts about the topic than about what's potential. And then when you lean into there, if you think about how many churches there are and how many people are actually going to church every week, in part of a ministry, this is the joke I my blog post was like, be a good capitalist. Like, there is enough pie for everybody here, guys. Like, we should be frustrated. And that's why I feel like it's like this, like, it's holding on to something that I feel like there's plenty of people. And a lot of times this is where online ministry gets a little deceptive, where people are criticizing, they're worried they're going to lose people. And I go, if you're losing people to an online thing and you're saying physical is so great, then I think your connection strategy is probably just bad. So that's why I think what they should be leaning into, and where I think that they will, is like the idea is that church home will be everywhere. It will have a web experience. It will have a Facebook experience. It will have an Instagram experience. It will have a Twitch experience. I mean, the idea is that they'll probably expand this, and the idea is that the app will probably become like their discipleship tool, their online learning platform, their CMS, whatever. Like, it's everything.
Yep.
And the idea is the content is everywhere. And so the idea is probably you're watching on Apple TV and it's like, hey, by the way, download our app to take a next step, to get into a group. And I think that essentially, like, that your pastor friend will say, it will become that. That this is how you resource. And I think that's probably what will happen. I still, like, I'm waiting to kind of watch them roll out. They just had their first live experience over the weekend. I didn't have a chance to watch it.
I watched it, yeah. For a little bit.
How was it? Because they talked about the lobby room and all that. Like, I was really interested on that.
You know, it was a native mobile app experience of what most of us that have been around the space for a while have experienced with church online platform or something like that. But living within a native mobile app. What's really interesting is you create your own profile within their app. And so you're interacting, you have to basically create a profile. What's interesting too about the app is you have to there's so much friction because you have to download the app, which has been the ongoing friction of a mobile app versus a mobile website. And then you have to create an account before you can even see anything within the app, which is additional friction before you can get into that. So once you're in, you're in. And there's so much there. But it was a cool experience though. It was a mobile, you know, screen, and then you could have a chat room while this video was going on.
Like, was it like Twitch kind of, how the Twitch chat, I don't know if you've seen that, where it kind of, Twitch chat is pretty powerful, but it's like, it's super stripped of design. It's kind of just like, it feels like AOL, like it's in the sense, but it's highly effective, you know, because it's kind of like just like text messaging.
Yeah, you know, maybe similar. I would say one of the things that I appreciate about the Church Home Global app is that it is beautiful at every level. So I wouldn't say it looks very old. Everything about the app to me felt highly intentional from a user interface standpoint. Very clean, very smooth, and some good simple calls to action. No doubt, this is their MVP of getting this launched. There's no doubt that over the next year, and to your point of watching this, will be interesting to see how do they adapt, how they promote it long term, what adjustments do they make as they see people interacting with it. I was, it was, I will also say, Jay, for something that was a brand new experience, I couldn't keep up with the chat. The chat was flowing so fast.
Oh, wow.
That I couldn't, and you and I live in this on the church world where we sometimes have a hard time getting people to chat. You might have 10,000 people watching, but you only have like 10 chatting. And so you want to build community, and this chat was flowing so fast.
That's awesome.
And then you can also click and then connect to people all within the app. So you have your profile and you get direct messages within the app so you could connect with other people. And so a lot of people saying where they're from, connecting with it. So I really like the experience. And then it's very, because it's all within this app, it's controlled by them. They can shut people down or cut people's accounts or flag them. They're not dependent on Facebook or they're not dependent on a third party provider. They have complete control because it's in their ecosystem. So it was really interesting.
That makes sense. I mean, it's obviously the whole, you know, the pro of Amazon is that you have all your account stuff set up, but it has to add so much value for that account. Two things: for you to create the account and for you to maintain the account.
Yes.
Because we all have that thing where like we have to get into it and we're like, what is our login again? And then you have to the decision, did I sign up with Facebook? Did I create an account? Did I log in with Twitter? And it's like, you could do so much with an app like that, but it has to provide enough value for you to maintain it. And that's why Amazon, it makes sense.
Yep.
Because we use Amazon, and the same thing with Facebook. And that's the beauty of Facebook login now is Facebook, regardless of what you think about Facebook, yes, you've probably connected a bunch of accounts with Facebook now. Yep. And so you have to maintain it. And I love that because it's the same reason why, like, I love my, like, one of the number one reasons why I love a phone app on my phone now is because I could use my fingerprint login or, you know, a face login. So like my bank, for example, like my bank's app is not that great because I have a credit union because I'm like old. And so somebody in my wife's family was a
FireWire. You'll be on crypto in the next 2 years anyway.
I know. That's true. Coinbase, let's go. And so, but I could log in with my finger. So like, I love that. So like, I know a lot of people like smash mobile apps, but like I will take a crappy mobile app so that I could just log in with my finger and never have to use a password ever again. I absolutely like that. That is not, people underplay that value. Like,
yes.
And like that convenience is amazing. The same thing with a face ID. And so, but I think that's why what they're doing, it makes a lot of sense. I think if they continue to lean in, and this is where I tell, and you've done the same thing, I would tell anybody that's navigating online church is, communicate up front more what your ultimate goal is. And that's one thing that I probably would have, you know, again, I'm a nobody, but like I would have leaned into them and to people like Judah, and I would have said, hey, like reach the world, but also don't take away the ultimate value of physically gathering. And that's where like I tell people all the time that like me and my wife, like we go to a physical church because we have that option and we have that luxury. Yep. The other thing is I do think that's a better experience. Now that doesn't mean somebody who's watching at home with their family with 10 people is a less value. It just means that's where they're at. And I think sometimes what we do is we make it an either or type of proposition. Yes. And we need to provide this gradient of like, there are people, like the amount of mentally ill people that are watching online because they've been disenfranchised from their local church is high. The amount of elderly that literally their local church can't support them and so they're watching is high. The amount of people that are parts of the country that can't go to church because of physical restriction is high. And for you to say that that is not a value for them to be part of this online ministry and some of them are not part of that, I think that's biblically incorrect. And so it's this gradient of like, okay, here's the thief on the cross, bare essentials of salvation, and here's like Paul, and to say the thief on the cross is not saved because he doesn't understand the Trinity, I think you can't make that argument. He's with God for all eternity. Doesn't mean we don't strive for the Paul experience. And I think it's that gradient of church online that gets a little messy. And that's where I think they're going to lean into the physical. I think they're going to lean into this app, the geo tagging type of marking stuff on the mobile app that you can do. I think they're going to do a lot of that. And that's the stuff that I go, I want to be part of, like, that's the part that makes me excited. And I think a lot more online ministry should lean into.
Yes. So Jay, I've got a big question for you here in a minute. I texted a friend of mine who started online church with me a long time ago. We brainstormed and we're building the mobile app for CBC, and we've journeyed through it. I texted him, you got to download this app. And he's like, what is it? And I was like, it's the app we dreamed about 8 years ago. It's here. And I would say it is so similar to something we dreamed about that honestly, I couldn't pull off. I wanted to, I tried to, cost factors, whatever the reason was, that's not easy to build that. I think the app is beautiful. I love the vision for it. I love the content they're creating for it. It's not just the structure of the app, the content is incredible inside of this app. I love the community aspect. I'll tell you the other thing I love, Jay, is I don't think, and I don't know anybody there, I don't think they figured out what they're doing yet. I don't think they figured out where they're going. I think they figured out, or they know, they want to reach people that are outside of Seattle that they couldn't otherwise reach. And this is the best solution they could dream of in order to do that. And they're diving into the space without all the answers, because that's what you and I did when we got started in this space. And we're constantly figuring it out. We do know we want to reach people we couldn't otherwise reach. We want to serve people in the most effective ways we can through these tools. We also want people as much as possible in face-to-face spiritual community, physical community, in spiritual community with each other. So we know these things, and we're just trying to figure this new opportunity out. But just discussing it and brainstorming for years and years is not going, you know, like we're not going to get to where we want to go. So Jay, here's the question though I have for you. Is this the future of online church? Is this the future of digital ministry? Should other churches be looking to build a church home global type of app? What do you think?
I definitely think something like this is a big part of it. And it, honestly, and I've been thinking about this more and more, that a lot of churches struggle with building church beyond teaching. Like, this is just a larger issue where when you tell a church, you ask them what is church to them, usually what they're meaning is that they gather once a week and they teach from the Bible. And then maybe there's some kind of experience on a patio or a lobby or a foyer, whatever. There's something happening. And they're not really doing the group thing well. And so that's why a lot of ministries, you'll find out, you know, yeah, we have 500 people that gather every week, but you ask how many people are in Bible study during the week, and it's like 40 people. Yeah. And the percentages rarely make sense. And so that's why I think it's really easy for a ministry to start streaming content online, because it naturally leans into their strengths.
Yes.
The whole group thing and connection thing during the week is actually the more difficult thing for ministries to embrace, because it's really easy to manage it when it's happening on site.
Yes.
And what I love about this, and this is where I think this is the future, is that ultimately online ministry is essentially just decentralizing your church's strategy. Mm-hmm. And it's forcing you to decentralize it all. And so thinking about it as, again, nobody thinks, every person that uses that word ecclesiology on Twitter understands church is not this building, but they're also fighting for it to be church at the same time.
Yes.
And again, I think it's, think about all the people first that aren't coming to your church, and think about what you could do if you can turn homes, workplaces, anywhere with a phone into a pop-up church. And think about it, really, what does that full expression, again, what Church Home is arguing, and I think you're totally right. I think that they are pitching a vision that they don't fully understand yet.
Yep.
And that's something I love. That's why it's like, that's vision of like, okay, I was talking to a guy yesterday where he was like trying to launch an online ministry. And I was saying like, you're probably going to need to shoot like, and I was leaning into them shooting like a one-on-one type of class, like do some kind of 45-minute hour class where everybody can watch. And you're probably going to need to shoot it twice in the first 6 months, because you're going to learn so much in the first 6 months. And then that thing could probably survive another 2 years. But like, there's so much of this we don't know. Like, there's stuff that we're doing. To think that when I first signed up for this, like, I had any idea that we would be doing meetups and I would be encouraging people to watch services together in home gatherings. Like, that stuff is not figured out. And that's why I think whatever they're going, I think is super exciting. Now, they could pivot. They could pivot in a way that I totally disagree. But I do think this is the future of online ministry, is leaning into a more geo-focused gathering type of initiative. And that's why their group, their app is beautiful. Their teaching is powerful. Their content is awesome. All that stuff's true. But I think the more encouraging part is that whole connection strategy that they have built into the app. And the app provides all this value at the top, and it provides a optimal experience to connect people. And so that's why I think that's the stuff that I'm like, if I was on the phone with them tomorrow, it would be like, that's the stuff I'm asking. And I'm going, hey, how are you doing that? And so I think it is the future. I think a lot of ministries need to be kicked in the rear to think, just because you're streaming content doesn't mean that's church. You need to get better at all the connection stuff. You need to be better at gathering people. You need to figure out, are you just an amplifier, or are you trying to decentralize? And those are two different approaches. Mm. And you need to have honest conversations about that. So I love that it's from top down, that Judah and all them are like, they believe in it and they don't see it as a separate thing. And they want a decentralized church. And I think that's biblical. I don't know what's all the fuss about, like decentralizing it. And I think at the end of the day, it's people want to keep, they think church is just, it's 1,000 people gathering and there's a worship stage. And so I'm like, no, like, you read in the Bible, it's home gatherings. It's smaller. And I'm like, why can't both be true? And, you know, so I think it is the future. I think this should kick a lot of us in the rear and just make us go, how can we be better at it? I think it's still hard. And I get that. I'm with you. I don't have the budget the same time, even at the church my size, I don't have the budget to go build an app like that. Yep. But there's some things we can do. You know, there's a lot of cool ways to kind of connect people. Meetups are one of those ways we've started to kind of flush that out, but there's a lot that needs to happen. So I'm excited.
You put out a new term that has me fascinated. It's a decentralized church, which in some ways philosophically is almost the anti-multi-site church, which is in some ways centralizing church. But I love this conceptually. So immediately the first thing I do is go to GoDaddy to see if decentralizedchurch.com is available or decentralized.church is available. Both are taken privately by somebody in Arizona, just to put that out there. So basically Church Home is the Bitcoin of church.
That's a great blog post right there.
That's your next blog post. You're welcome. So it is fascinating, this concept of decentralizing church. I think practically, and this app is not the first to do that, but I think conceptually, it's fascinating to think about. When we think of church, we all think about worship services. To your point of what does the midweek look like? What do the gatherings look like? That's where church is happening. That's where a church project in Houston has really challenged me to rethink church. When I think about church and gatherings of people, it's in the community that's happening. And on the weekends, I maybe shake a couple of people's hands, but I'm not doing community. I'm singing songs and listening to a sermon, and we're having church, but that's part of that experience.
I think of like what North Point is leaning into. Clay Scroggins has talked about a lot is that whole, like, they're leaning into online, but that doesn't mean they're taking their foot off the gas of physical attendance. No. It doesn't mean that they're not focusing on their multi-site strategy. I mean, both are true, and one can be of more value while the other is still valuable.
Totally.
This is why this black and white conversation, this is, I mean, again, like that whole thing, when I saw them release and I saw the sniping happening, it was a classic, like, just Twitter media culture of today. It's taking headlines and just sniping. And it's that wisdom thing of like, hey, guess what? Like, Republicans aren't always all wrong. And guess what? Democrats aren't always all wrong. And these people are typecast to be like, who's the girl, Amanda Cortez? Who's the girl that's, I think I'm saying her name. She's a really young person that just ran for politics, and I think in New York, I thought. But she's super liberal in her thinking, and she's saying a bunch of stuff. But the idea is that people have typecast her into like, she's just dumb because she's young, and she is a liberal, so she's wrong. So Republicans do say this. So the thought is like, that girl, that woman, is not always wrong. She can say stuff that's right too. And the whole point is that we have to throw people. And it's like, can we, like, I'm not saying everybody's, we got to be a libertarian on this, but I'm saying like we gotta have a balanced approach to go, hey, what Judah and his wife and all them are doing is super powerful, and I think there's something there. And I still, and to say it's unbiblical, I think you're going a little too far on that. And you're more, when you say that, you're revealing your heart and you're revealing what is as maximum value to you. And that is your physical church building. And I go, scripture is complete opposite on that one, my friend. And yes. I think it's an interesting conversation.
So where I'm going to align this though, Jay, practically is it from my perspective, a decentralized or distributed church is maybe the term I would use is be on Facebook and be on Twitter and be on YouTube and be on these platforms. And so I don't think Church Home App is the future of church in that, or even online church, because I just don't think it's realistic to think that many churches can have an app at this level. I think more churches will. I think there will be more of this.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But at the end of the day, I also don't think it's realistic for most churches to have an online campus pastor. That there are certain churches that can invest or will invest in that direction. It doesn't mean everybody is, but it doesn't mean because you don't have an online pastor that you don't use the internet or that you don't need an app. And so it might not be so complex. I think, though, if I were to give most churches direction, lean into Instagram, lean into YouTube, lean into Facebook, these free platforms that are available, and take some of the concepts of Church Home. What I think Church Home has done, though, is by building a native app, they can fully control the experience. Just like I think about a church plant. Church plant typically starts at a school or a movie theater. It's not an optimal experience, but they use it for most efficiently because it's the resources they have at that time. When you're able to build a church building, you can build the stage the size you want to. You have the number of seats the way you want them. You can have the air conditioning. You create that more ideal experience for your congregation in that physical space. And with a digital mobile app, you can create the ideal experience for those people as they come in, but it's going to cost more. It's going to be more, you're going to have to maintain it more, but what you're going to be able to do by having that is really complex and exciting and will be very interesting, but it's just not something that's realistic for most churches. And so I think I think other platforms are ideal. And I bet Church Home, to your point, is going to do both. But I'm thrilled that they're doing it. I can't wait to watch what they're doing. It's going to be really exciting to see where they go.
The last thing I'll say is that people also forget that with Judah and his church, with his writing and his speaking, like he has millions of people that are connected to him that don't go to church.
Yep.
And more specifically, they've come to Christ and have connected to Jesus through him and his ministry. Yes. And to think like, the church down the street is just going to automatically welcome them and connect. That doesn't work in like that. And I've done this even with my church is, you know, people think, oh, they come to Christ on your platform and then why can't you plug them into this church down the street? Well, like that church of 50 might be of great value and I'm not taking away, but to think that they can transition from our ministry to that ministry, that's not as seamless. And there's a lot of churches in America specifically over 350,000. But the problem is those experiences tend to be, it's like 31 flavors. There's just so many different types. Some of them are bad and some of them are great and some of them are good and some of them are great at this and bad at this. And that's why to think like he can provide a church experience to people anywhere, I think it should be something we should applaud and we can go, wow, let's get behind that. Now criticize where you clearly disagree. But don't make a vague, like what they're saying is unbiblical. Like those broad strokes, I think are intellectually just weak. And I think it's just like, I think it's bad theology, like when they say stuff like that. And I'm like, I think actually what you're saying is actually more incorrect because they haven't even rolled out the whole thing yet. But I agree. I think it's lean into, a lot of churches can't do that because of the cost. I do hope that there's some things that come out that make this more scalable. Yep. For a lot of people. But I also think my encouragement is learn from them still as much as you can, but think about how can you build more direct native experiences on each platform? And I think that's what they've done with this app is that they've really leaned into that really well.
Yeah, you know, and to piggyback on that, I think the philosophy with online ministry has primarily been online evangelism. And what this is really prioritizing is online discipleship. And so I think that's where this shift is really going to become more significant over the next decade of online ministry, is that discipleship is a big part. And I believe a platform like this is most effective for your local congregation that, you know, Jay, you and I have young kids, getting a small group, doing a small group during the week is challenging for folks in our situation with kids, of getting childcare and coordinating all of that. And for a lot of churches, that the internet provides a great opportunity to disciple people that maybe can't come to your church, but also people that are in your church, and you can disciple them and give them content every single day. There are so many additional assets. So they don't have to physically go to your church, go to somebody's house to experience discipleship, to experience worship, whether they are local or global. We could go on and on, Jay, and we obviously have those conversations a lot. I want to, as we wrap up this conversation, I know those listening here want to connect with you online. I do want to, though, encourage everyone to join this conversation. If you agree or disagree, push back. Let's talk on Twitter, if we could, and use the hashtag SMC Podcast, and let's talk about this. Let's debate this topic on Twitter in a healthy, open manner, and push back or support, or however you feel. But let's have a great conversation on Twitter about this and for this dialogue. So, Jay, where can people connect with you online?
Yeah, so you just connect with me. This is the church home type of spelling, jaycranda.com, but it's J-A-Y. So J-A-Y, Cranda. I would love to, definitely that's the one thing, this online ministry is something I talk a lot about, and I'm always blogging and thinking about stuff, how it impacts. So if you specifically want to learn about that, that's the only thing I pretty much write about. And so check that out. And definitely, I'm always on Twitter, probably. If there's a Laker game on, I'm probably on Twitter at that exact moment, engaging with, because my tweets are unbalanced between online ministry and basketball. It's very confusing. So anyways, but yeah, I would love to engage on that, or Instagram or whatever. And I would love to get as many Instagram followers as you, Niels. So if there's any way I can get that, so I can get that fancy swipe up.
Thing. You know, I'll consider tagging you in a post, and maybe,
you, that's all I ask.
Someday. And Jay, I would love to have as much hair as you have. And so, Jay, if you could gift me some of that hair, I would appreciate it.
We'll talk about it. Yeah.
So, Jay, we love you. We miss you. We're excited for you. We celebrate you and appreciate you leading the conversation of online church and continuing to encourage so many pastors around the world to innovate and push the limits of technology in ministry. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this podcast. For the show notes and for much more, go to socialmedia.church. And if you would, leave a review on iTunes or wherever it is you're listening, it would mean the world to us. See you next time.